Mattresses. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Lisa Sleep. Lisa is an innovative mattress company and, more importantly, Larry 2's sponsor, RIP and Peace, who has completely improved that dreaded old school mattress buying experience. So much so, we invented a tagline for them. We've all been through that whole thing buying beds. It stinks. You got to go to the showroom. You have someone just breathing down your neck, staring at you, doing all that nonsense. No one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms where you're forced to spend thousands of dollars on subpar mattresses. Lisa has changed the game like the Jigga Man, so you can now enjoy comfort of a luxury mattress at a fraction of the price. The Lisa mattress starts at just $525. It is quickly and conveniently ordered online, made to order, and shipped compressed in a box to your door within days. Unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took me less than 5 minutes. You open it, goes poof, and then it just like slowly rises like a little swish, a little crescent roll wrapped hot dog. It's a beautiful thing. Not so sure about ordering online? Lisa provides a 100-night risk-free trial along with free shipping so you can properly try out the mattress in the comfort of your own home. So what makes this mattress different? At Lisa, it's all about the quality. The incredible, comfortable Lisa mattress is 100% American-made and comprised of three high-quality foam layers that provide cooling, contouring, and pressure relief. With over 10,000 five-star customer reviews, you can trust that this mattress is the right pick. Go to lisa.com/barstool today to receive an exclusive $100 off the Lisa mattress, just for you stoolies.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Podfathers, and this is kind of our first show since the big news story broke this week, and I know a lot of you who have been listening for a while have been kind of wondering where we're going to take it, and when these kind of issues come up, what we're going to do. I talked about it just a little bit on Twitter. Clem didn't really respond because it was kind of a personal issue and he didn't really want to get involved with it. But we would really be remiss like on our show if we didn't bring it up, because cheating is obviously not a good thing. And looking at it over the past couple of weeks and seeing how things have unfolded, it's really been unfortunate. It really stinks that we even have to do this. But I guess for us, it kind of started around Christmas time, I would say. And that's when I really first knew and first noticed, because that's been a big question too. Like, how much have you guys known? Like, did you know for a while that this kind of thing was going on? And the answer is yes, we did. Like, we knew it was out in the open. It was pretty blatant in a lot of situations. And I regret like not saying anything earlier, because that probably could have stopped like a lot of stuff, because I think they both respect me. Like, I think they both respect me and what I say and how I kind of lead them down that path. And so really, in part, I take a little bit of the blame on my own shoulders. Now, Clem is not to blame for it at all, and I don't want that. I don't know how much Clem knew. Like I said, he probably only saw the things on Twitter. But that's what happens when you play Monopoly. And my daughters like have been cheating so much playing Monopoly that it's kind of hard as a parent to really nip them in the bud of doing that. Like, what do you think, Clem? Like,
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's one of those things. It's personally, I mean, we've all been there. You take that $100, you start stealing Baltic, Mediterranean, and then you work your way up to the light blues. And then next thing you know, you're saying, oh, I had Boardwalk this whole time. It's like, no, you didn't. You know, you didn't buy it. Why? How do you have all these, you know, we're out of 500s because you have them all under your fucking thing.
That's really the thing with it. Like, you can have Boardwalk for years, like in Monopoly, but you always kind of have your eye on Park Place because you want that next best thing. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, it really stinks, but it's part of growing up. It's a learning process, and they'll get it. I hate to see them fighting now. They're going through it, and they're just constantly at each other's throats, and it's ugly. It's portrayed out in public. Even when we go out to restaurants and stuff, it's what people are talking about. It's just terrible, man. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to play Monopoly in the Chaps household. Thanks for listening, guys. We got you with the hook, you bitches. We're not going to talk about that. That's not none of our business.
Well, let's say this. I think I will say this much about the whole situation. And like you said, I didn't say anything on Twitter. We won't say much on the show. It hits, man. It fucking hits arm. It hits home. Kevin, first and foremost, was like one of the most important people in my lives, as weird as it sounds. Like, just being like, you have the entertainer you've always like liked. Kevin was the guy that got me into Barstool. He's the guy who wrote about New York, blah, blah, blah. So that got me in. Then he got me like a part-time gig. Then he got me a full-time gig. The guy changed my fucking life. Let me just call it as it is. The guy changed my life. Now you see this and it's like, oh fuck. Like, and he's on a parenting show with us about marriage. So it's a fucking, we said this literally last week on the show. You never know what's going on behind the scenes with a family, with the Craig Sager stuff. We said this exact thing, and you never know what's going on with people. I have friends, family friends, where the husband has cheated on the wife has cheated on the husband. I've seen both sides of it, both with kids. It's fucking terrible. It stinks. And as I've met with those friends or family friends, whatever you want to call them, you learn that there's a lot of shit going on, and it's not always black and white. It's fucking bad 100% every single time. But it's just one of those things that I don't know. Like, it's like people think we're going to come out and like, you know, go into a whole in-depth thing. It's just not going to happen. But it's a real thing that I think, I mean, I had a pit in my stomach for a full week about it. I just like, just thinking about it makes me sick. We talked about too, like your wife or your spouse, when you have kids, it's your fucking buddy in the foxhole basically. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. that's your person. And like I said it literally last week on the podcast too. At this point, my whole life is for my kids, and to do something like this puts a fucking huge dent in like the whole their life now, the way that they're going to be growing up. And people making jokes about it, like, you fucking crazy, man, you're disgusting. But shit, we kind of just made a joke about it, so we'll cut that part out. But like, I just think it's just one of those things that you should just kind of like let it be, let it go on its own. They have to work through shit on their own, and it just stinks. That's my official statement, if you want to make out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a terrible situation, and he's got to deal with it. And that's the part of coming with the limelight. When you have a job that's in the limelight, when you do something, you get caught out for fucking up in an area, you're going to get drug on the carpet. And we do it to people all the time at Barstool, and it certainly has happened, and it will continue to happen to Kevin for a long time. He's not only reaping what he sows at home, but he's doing it on social media and in the public eye as well. So, I mean, that's part of the game. Like, I experienced it a couple weeks ago myself. You get dragged to the carpet, man. Like, that's what happens.
And everyone's looking at me and they're like, Clem, when is your thing coming out of the closet? And I don't know. I don't know if I have skeletons. I probably have something in there. Everyone fucking does. And that's the other thing too. Like, everyone, unless even Mother Teresa, I heard she was a little bit of a fucking crazy little bitch in her own day. You know what I mean? If someone kept the receipts on her, then, you know, we're learning a different thing about Mother Teresa. So it's not a good look. It's tough, but it's also real people behind this. We're also out in the open. We live that public life, and you have to kind of everything that comes with it, especially when your like brand is roasting people like Kevin's has been.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But we're going to move on just like he has to move on.
Yeah, and one thing that I would move on with is a nice little hair washing. I had a good week this week, my friend. Like, I discovered the second lather, and when I was talking about it in one of the blogs, I think it was the blog on the Tide Pods, actually. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to make a how-to video, because the way that I've been washing my hair has been changing my life. And I'm so excited because the forehead stuff is about to come. I don't know if you've not a big hair guy, Clem. You're not a big hair guy. But my hair is, I'm growing it out. It looks a lot thicker, but it's really like thinned out in spots. Like, from the difference between my hair from 32 years old to 35 year old is pretty extreme. Because my hair used to be thick. I used to have to use the thinning shears like to get my hair under control. I think I've sent you my long hair pictures from when I was younger.
Yeah.
And my hair was completely out of control. I want to get that back. And I'm going to do it with four hems because it's the new year. I want to be a new year, new me. I want to start going to the gym. I heard that we have a Beachbody like sponsorship coming up, and I'm super stoked about that because I might actually get back into a little bit of shape. 66% of men lose their hair by 35. That's me. resolved not to be that guy who just who doesn't do anything, because that's kind of what I would do too. Like, you just kind of look at a situation, you feel yourself balding, you notice the hair in the bottom of the shower, and you don't really know what to do. 4Hims lets us stop that. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness. What's up? Medical grade solutions, real doctors offering well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Not herbal supplements. It's prescription-based solutions backed by science. We're big science guy on the podcast.
Yeah, science!
Yeah. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, saving hours by going to 4him.com. Answer a few quick questions, and the doctor will review and prescribe you the meds that you need. What you got to do, our listeners will get a free month trial for everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 today while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. It's 4hims.com/podfathers. That's forhims.com/podfathers. 4hims.com/podfathers. I'm really looking forward to it, dude. I'm going to do like before and after pictures.
This is what I'm thinking right now. You talked about the Beachbody thing. You talked about the hair. We're getting back Hollister chaps right now. You're going to be out in front of the store shirtless being like, hey, boys, little Zac Efron and neighbor shit. This is... I can't wait for the daddy boy to come back with a fucking vengeance.
Man, I'm going to be out there at Disney World, dude. We did more Disney planning this week. Dude,
did you?
Y'all. Let me. Oh, wait. Shit, I need to show you something. I didn't tell you. I wanted to show you on the podcast, live reaction. This is all good right. Radio. Look at my phone cover. Tell them what you see, Clem.
I'm gonna snap a picture of that for the people on Twitter right now. We got Mickey, and it's not like your typical Mickey case, like, oh, it's just Mickey. He's peeping through the corner, like, hey, chaps, how's it going, buddy? That's such a bad Mickey voice. Can you do a Mickey voice?
Hi, friends. But yeah, that... like I told my wife, if we're going to Disney World two years in a row, I got to be full-blown Disney guy. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to embrace that lifestyle. So we Disney, because some of those, I don't know if you've been to Disney World in a long time or as a parent, there's a lot of pressure going because a lot of these restaurants get booked 7-8 months out, dude. 7-8 months out. So this time we got the Hawaiian Luau at the Polynesian where we're going. They're going to have fire dancers, sword swallowers, all that business. We got that one on tap. We got Be Our Guest, where we're going to eat dinner with Belle. We got dinner in Cinderella's Castle. And we got Mickey's Dream House or something like that, where we're eating with my boy Mickey. Like, so we have four of the hardest ones to get. We locked them up early because we have the reservations early. We got in there, dude.
Disney is like a cult too, where like I feel like you have to feel like you're like as good as the other people who are just Mickey head to toe, and you're like, all right, now I have to step my game up, and now you're stepping yours up. I don't think I've ever told this story. This is a little bit of a little reveal into the Clem life. My wife and I are big Disney people, huge Disney people, such big Disney people that I proposed to my wife at Disney.
Ooh, wow, Clem, so and romantic.
I've been told by people who didn't know this about me that people are corny who propose at Disney. Let me tell you, those people, suck my dick.
There you go. Suck
it. You are
it.
No longer my friend if no you longer. Think I am corny. I proposed to my wife at Cinderella's Castle. They may even show you the table I proposed to her at. That's the kind of treatment you'll get at Disney. You know why? Because her favorite princess was Cinderella. And as soon as I knew that, I said, I am going to take this woman and I am going to propose to her. And it is going, she got a little cake and a slipper. And on the slipper, inside of a rose petal, was the engagement ring. And I went down to one knee, all on camera, and it was a beautiful moment.
This what a pleasant surprise this morning. Wow.
It was, yeah. I've always wanted to tell this story. I was looking for it, and you gave me the opening when you said Cinderella's Castle. It triggered it right to that memory. And then afterwards, you get fireworks. You get fireworks.
Did everybody clap? Thing.
Oh, yeah. So this – all right. Let me give a couple little highlights from this.
Is that the same, Clem?
Right before we go to the table, I bump into a family friend from home. Oh. Like my mom's friend. She's down there with her kids. She ends up sitting –
did you say, what a small world? Did you say that?
Oh, yeah. We said, what a small world.
It's a small world after all.
Guys, not again. We then proceed to go sit at our table. They're two tables away just by complete coincidence. And our entire, you know, huge moment unfolds mere feet away from our longtime family friend. It was incredible. My wife also, when you get to the when you check into your table, you say, like, you know, Clem family of two. They say, all right. They have something on the computer. And I imagine on there it says engagement, because I booked it. It's like you have to pay for it, the whole thing. So then we go up to the table, and I could have sworn my wife, like, I thought she might have saw the computer, and she was acting a little different, right? So I'm getting like, oh, fuck. Like, I've had the ring in my pocket since.
Well, I think, how long have you guys been dating at that point?
Okay, yeah, good question. We started dating 2004. At this point, it was 2009, so 5 years.
Oh, so anytime, like, once you're over 2 years, any vacation you're going on together, I think there's a proposal almost expected.
Yes, so I told my wife going into this proposal, you're not getting proposed, because at this point, I'm getting it from all angles. I'm getting the family members, the friends. When are you going to do it? She's giving it to me. You know, everyone's just on.
Shit or get off the pot kind of situation.
Exactly. And I said to her, I said before the vacation, I go, obviously I knew I was going to propose. I go, listen, I just want to let you know it's around Valentine's Day when we're going. It's February 17th. I said, I am not proposing to you on this vacation, just so it's not hanging over your head. Completely fucking tricked your ass, chaps. We then fly to Florida. That morning, it's in my pocket because I don't want to leave it in a bag. It gets taken out. I'm just freaking out the entire time that, like, a TSA agent's going to pull it out.
That's a nerve-wracking thing, having the ring.
And it's in the minute it's in your pocket, anyone who's proposed says it's like a live grenade, for lack of a better term. Like, everyone says it's just ready in there. You don't know what's going to happen with it. I'm scared it's going to hit her. It's going to fall out. Someone's going to, you know, you just go through all the things in your head.
Especially at Disney, because you're riding rides and shit.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, I didn't do this thing first thing as soon as we got there. This was for dinner. So I'm holding on Space Mountain. I got one hand on her, one hand on the ring kind of shit. And I have to also make sure that I'm always on the right side, because the ring's in my right side. I don't want the ring jutting into her hip like, you know, Lois Einhorn's gun, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So then we go to the table. She's acting off the entire dinner. She's sick. She's going to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, my God, she found out. And not only did she find out, she doesn't want to marry me. So it was a disaster. I'm like, hey, let's go get dessert now. She's like, I don't want dessert. I'm like, we fucking need dessert, because that's your wedding ring coming with that dessert. Order dessert. She's not happy with me for ordering dessert. I can see it in her eyes. Boom. Things. Waterworks. On camera. Maybe I'll even
put it in the cake.
So there's like, it was like a little cake. It actually said like, happy birthday, like Janice or something. They gave us the wrong fucking thing altogether. But we did get the thing, the slipper. It was custom made, had the rose petal and the thing, got down to one knee and fucking. And I also.
Wait, there's a slipper? You had to put. Did you put a slipper on her?
So there's a little mini slipper. It's about the size of like a banana, a small banana, I guess.
Okay.
And it said glass slipper. And it's a nice, it's fancy too. It's a fancy glass slipper. Right. There's like a rose petal. The ring goes around the rose petal. And there's a photographer that comes around, takes the picture, snaps the moment, makes it. All you really have is her face, just completely shocked, and my big fat back of my head down on one knee. And then she said yes. She
Big time kiss?
Big time kiss. I was a big fan of – I think you should always throw tongue in your kisses. If you're a tongue kisser, wedding, engagement, there should always be at least a little bit of tongue.
Classy, I was going to say that too, man. Like, I get so disappointed when I see people get engaged and there's no tongue going on. Give them some tongue, dude.
I mean, let's be honest.
There's a lot of stuff that went in for you to plan that. You deserve a little tongue there.
At that point, it's like, yeah, your emotions are drained from planning it, getting it all set. It just left my body. So it was like, let's celebrate now. It's party time. I might even get laid tonight. For the record, did not get laid. And then we went outside, and this is the best part.
The record will still indicate. I'll put that in the log.
I go outside, and there's fireworks afterwards, which is the best part. You get the fireworks show at Disney. So it was perfect. You're getting the phone calls, the whole thing.
And you went in what time of year? February?
February 17th.
So, oh, it's cold outside. You're bundled up a little bit. You're walking around. You're holding hands. Brand new engaged. What a wonderful moment.
Yep. And then the whole weekend, you have vacation glow plus engagement glow. It was incredible. It was such a good move by me.
And everybody's glad. Your family's glad you're coming back from Disney. All safe and sound from your vacation. And you're engaged. So there's big hugs whenever you get back.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, tell us about the Disney story. Tell us about the engagement story. So you're kind of given the whole thing. And if I know she doesn't listen, there is a chance Mrs. Chaps may propose to you down in Disney.
God, I hope so. It would be.
Imagine.
I mean, if I get a glass slipper, I mean, my goodness.
Would you want to get engaged with Beauty and the Beast? Like, I feel like that's your kind of thing, is to be our guest. That would be the best place. Like, I don't want to have your radar up now, but I feel like that would mean the most.
I'm ready to put this on the record. More so than a Mickey guy, I'm a Winnie the Pooh guy. So if I can get married in the 100-acre forest.
Oh, lovely.
Just right there. Me, Piglet, Tigger, the whole squad. Eeyore obviously would be there. Mr. Rabbit, Owl, like Rue. I mean,
you wouldn't invite Rabbit, would you? I don't think Rabbit.
I would. I have. I mean, I would tell him that he needs to have a good attitude. I would. Okay. I would sit him down before, like, if you want to come, you need to put that Sad Sack Sally shit somewhere else. I wouldn't tolerate it. You want to do my engagement story now?
Yeah,
we'll just flip the script from cheating to being like, hey, we're happily married.
Just don't stunt on Kevin's grave. That's fucked up. All right.
All right. Here we go. So when my wife and I first started dating, she was more sophisticated than me. She like was going to school to get a master's degree. And
was?
She, huh? Yeah.
Was?
Yeah, was, is. So she was going to school to get her master's degree. And she had mentioned that she was taking this class on like art history, and she really liked Van Gogh. So there was a painting called The Almond Branches that she really liked. I lived in DC at the time. She was in Mississippi. And so for her birthday, like our first present time together as like a dating couple, I bought her like a print, but like a nicer version of a print of The Almond Branches by Van Gogh, so she could hang it above her bed. Well, I looked through, because I live near the Smithsonian, I was looking at the different art exhibits that were coming through, and they had this Van Gogh like traveling exhibit that actually had the real Almond Branches that was coming. And so I was thinking about proposing to her anyways. And so I thought, I will propose to her underneath the real Almond Branches, so that when we have it at our house as we're like living together, it'll always be there. So it'll be like a reminder. So I have this whole plan set up. I tell like one of my buddies and his girlfriend, like, you guys just need to be at the Smithsonian at this time so they could take pictures of us there, because we were going to go by ourselves and just spend the day at the museum. Well, she comes up to D.C., where I'm living, because I'm working at Quantico, and the same thing. I had the ring upstairs, and before, like 3 weeks before this, she was up visiting, and Kelsey was like, Annalise, this is where Daddy bought your ring, right here. Like, and she pointed at the jewelry store, like when we were in the mall, like where I bought the ring. And I was like, you little bitch. But Kelsey was like 4 years old at the time. So I think she kind of already knew that I had the ring, or it was like coming. So we're at my house, and I live in like a little townhouse in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I start drinking wine. Like, we both start drinking wine. And I'm nervous because she always, when she came up, I was a single father, like living by myself, full-time Marine, like working 60 hours a week, trying to balance being a parent as well. And it was just a nightmare. So like laundry was always way behind, or I would like get all the laundry, bring it to somebody. They would fold it all and do everything like for me, like every 3 weeks. Well, she would always do my laundry whenever I was at work and she was like staying at my house. So I was nervous that when she was going to put the laundry away, that she would find the ring. Like, I was like, where can I hide this thing in the house where she won't find it? Because I sure shit don't want to take it with me to work, like on a Marine base. Like, I would easily lose it there.
Yep.
So I'm drinking wine that night and I have a little bit too much, and I'm just like, fuck it. So I go upstairs, grab the ring, propose in the middle of my living room, and then we both immediately get like pretty blackout drunk and start calling her. I think I asked like 11 people to be my best man that night, because we were just calling people and asking, like, and then we only ended up having like 15 people come to our wedding. It was great.
I love that too. Like, we did it sober. We were pretty sober at that point after we got engaged. But if you're drunk and then you're just saying how much you love people, and then it's such a big occasion, like, that's how you do ask like 11 people to be your best man. Like, I kind of love that about you.
Like, dude, we've known each other for like 2 months, but we really get along great, dude. I want you to be my best man.
Did you call the Cajuns? Do the Cajuns have phones?
Oh, the Cajuns have phones. Yeah, I haven't talked to the Cajuns in a long time. We kind of had a little falling out. It's sad. I could really go for some boudin and some rice stuffing, for sure.
That boy Chaps, he took my roll blades and he never gave them back. And I never forgive him for that shit.
That's basically how it would go down, too. Their voices were ridiculous. Especially the dad's. The dad's voice was absolutely outrageous.
Wait, it was a father and a son?
Father, son, mom, daughter, and little brother.
Dude, I thought you lived with just two Cajun guys. I didn't realize you lived with a Cajun family.
It's a Cajun family, yeah.
Yo, I swear to God, Chaps. I mean, every fucking day it's something new on this podcast.
And the house was an old firehouse that had like a pole in it.
That's right.
So I would sneak out. So they had one door that you could go out. I would go out the window, like from my bedroom, go out the window, walk down the roof, jump onto the garage, jump into my truck's bed, and be out of the house in like 10 seconds.
To go to your Hollister job where you were, you know, long hair and no shirt. I like what? When I read your blogs and see like your shampoo video, I go, how did this man like this? What's the seasoning in this? Like, you know, when you eat something, you're like, how does this, what's in here? There's the seasoning to Chaps. There's so much. And we learn every week on Podfathers a little bit more. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
I love you. I love you. Let me just say, we don't say that enough.
I love you too.
Chaps.
I love you too. If you love your family, you should probably make sure they're protected with something like Policy Genius. Policy Genius is the easiest way to compare and buy life insurance online. They let you compare quotes in just 5 minutes. It's almost unheard of to make a responsible purchase in 5 minutes. I know that I never do that. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. And they don't just insure life. They insure everything in it. You can compare your health insurance, disability insurance, pet insurance, renter's insurance. So many ways to be responsible. Pet insurance is big, man, because if your pet gets sick, you are fucked, because that's expensive, dude. Like, not many people have pet insurance, and you should, because that's one thing that could get really, really pricey that you're not expecting, because nobody's expecting your dog to, like, fall down the steps and lose. It's snowing behind you, and it looks gorgeous. Like, what a romantic podcast we're having right now.
This is a good one. This is a good one.
Yeah. So if you've made a New Year's resolution, be better with money, achieve it at policygenius.com. It's the easiest way to find and compare and buy life insurance. There's zero sales pressure, no hassle, and it's free. Free is the most financially responsible price. Policy Genius, get your New Year's resolution resolved in just 5 minutes.
Each the Podfathers fuck with Policy Genius. That's our shit.
Yeah, we do. You got to have life. You got to have some life points, man. Like, you just got to get your shit together. That's what it's about being dad. You can't go off and die and leave your family financially fucked. Yep. That should be their tagline, honestly, for fathers. Yeah. Don't leave your family financially fucked.
I'm doing the emoji right now. Preach, Chaps. Preach to them, baby.
The snow falling behind you is absolutely gorgeous.
It's really nice, right? See, like, the Northeast, for all the shit that I hate about it, there are times like this. I will say, we just had like 2 weeks of freezing cold weather and snow, and I was like so happy when it all melted yesterday. But this is kind of nice now. I'm happy you're enjoying this.
Yeah, I went golfing yesterday. It was 70 degrees and sunny.
Son of a bitch. You goddamn. See, that's wrong. Oh, and speaking of which, I have a leaking roof now, Chaps.
What
if you want to talk.
Yeah.
So apparently, our roof is just shitty. We had a guy come. He says our roof is a piece of shit. Our old roof, we had to put thousands of dollars in just to get things fixed. There's a beam that has to be fixed. It's going to cost thousands more. It's a goddamn disaster.
So you're going to have to re-roof it?
Going to have to at least re-roof some of it, if not the whole thing, which is grown-up shit, bad news bears.
You know, if I were you and you've already put in several thousand bucks, you might as well re-roof the whole thing if you're planning on staying there, because even if you don't, whenever you get the inspection, you're going to have to do it. Like, you're going
to. Yeah. I'd like to know where our inspection guy was on this one, dipshit. Like, what a dipshit. Like, where were you on that one, dipshit? Like, in Billy Madison.
That's,
you know,
why I replaced my truck. Like, whenever they were like, the repairs are going to be like $11,000, and we're not sure if that will completely fix the everything. I was like, just replace the whole fucking engine, man.
Yep. Yeah, there's like a beam that's just like either broken or bent, and when roofs and shit, that's why you need Policy Genius. The fucking thing, if avalanche of snow just falls on me, my ass is dead. I need someone watching Sienna, baby number two, and wifey. So we're in a rough space right now, Chapsy. We're in a rough space, but we're gonna power on.
Let's move into our big time question of the week. We have a question of the week.
We got a big time question of the week. Brendan, let's get some big time music of the big time question of the week music queued up here.
Would that music be Smooth by Carlos Santana featuring Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 off the Grammy Award winning album Supernatural?
Yes, it would, Chapsy. Yes,
there
it would.
There we go.
And you know what? I'm going to call it right now. This question is blog worthy. You will see this question on the blog.
Blog worthy question.
This comes from Wesh88. Wesh88. Need my Podfathers family to help me with baby girl names due in April. Baby number one. This is the leadoff hitter. This is a big one. You can't fuck this one up. Mm-mm. This is what sets the tone for your family. These are the options: Harper, Kennedy, Nora, Fallon, Palmer. I think he's, I don't know if he's choosing last names for his child or first names for his child. But again,
what was the last one? Palmer?
Palmer. Harper, Kennedy, Nora, Fallon, Palmer. Those are last names. He's choosing a last name for his child, which, hey, I mean, to each their own. If you don't want your baby to have your name, that's up to you. But so that's what we have. I just texted them to you in case you need to see them. Harper, Kennedy, Nora, Fallon, Palmer.
All right. Harper, I think we got to go with what name first comes to mind whenever you have it, because that's a very important thing, name recognition. When you first hear that name, who's the first person that comes into your mind? Obviously, we got Harper Lee.
Oh, I'm thinking Big Bryce. So this is two things here. Bryce Harper is young enough where he'll be relevant for at least the first 6 years of your kid's life. And then if he's a Hall of Famer, I mean, I don't know if he's like that big where it's like Babe Ruth kind of shit, but that's what I think of. But Harper Lee is a good one too. Fair enough.
And then you got JFK.
JFK. RIP.
But you also have the former VJ off of MTV.
Yeah. Depending on where you grew up and what time, you know, Kennedy, the VJ could be your number one.
Yeah. You have Nora Jones, obviously.
Nora Jones. Now, Nora Jones, when I think Nora Jones, doesn't it just put you at ease? It puts me at ease when I hear the name Nora. So we'll keep that in mind.
That piano riff is still beautiful.
You can go, to this day.
That album plays.
It plays for days.
Fallon.
Fallon.
Isn't that the Teen Mom? No, that's Farrah. That's Farrah.
That's Farrah. It's Jimmy Fallon, who I, for one, despise. I hate Jimmy Fallon. I think he's forced. I think he's fake. His whole laughing thing is over. I'm over. I'm done with it. And he's going to be the Tonight Show or at least a late night show host for the foreseeable future.
I'll tell you what, dads, moms, you don't want to name your daughter Fallon because it's going to be like Fallon, more like fall on this dick.
Oh shit! I thought you were gonna say Falcon, and like you're a bird. No, fall on his dick. That's a stroke. So
you don't want Fallon. You don't want Fallon.
I always tell this story about Jimmy Fallon whenever I blog about him. He was like a Red Sox fan growing up, or he was like a Mets fan growing up. He then became a Yankees fan when they became good. He then became a Red Sox fan because he did Fever Pitch, and I think he's back to being a Yankees fan. You cannot name your kid after a front runner that goes to both New York teams and the Red Sox. Fallon is out. We're throwing Fallon out. Is that fair enough?
Yep. And I like the name Palmer just because I think it'd be cute to have her name be Palmer, but also call her Arnie. I think that would be cute.
Ooh, I kind of like that too. Obviously Arnold Palmer's the guy. Palmer is a girl's name. Does that play?
I think so. If she's cute, you got to be pretty confident that she's cute. If you're an ugly girl with kind of a dimorphic type of name, I think you struggle. But if you're cute and you have that kind of name, like, there's nothing better than like a hot girl whose name is Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Now, I think I almost think Palmer has to be blonde for it to work. Does that make sense? I feel like she needs to be a blonde girl. If she's like, she's brunette or she's dark, if she's black haired or even ginger, I think it's going to be hard for her to pull off the Palmer. But if she's blonde, it's an A++ in my opinion. So I'm kind of torn on that. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to throw this one out to the Stoolies out there. We're going to name our first baby in Barstool history that I know of. The Stoolies are in charge.
Do we know last name? Are we allowed to say last name?
Let's see. I mean, he did.
Because that plays, dude. Like, that really plays.
That is a great call. Last name is Hackett. By the way, first name Wes. What do we think of the name Wes?
I don't mind it. It's a strong name.
strong name. It reminds me of Wes from the MTV The Challenge, which kind of hurts him because he was an asshole. But Wes is like, there's enough NBA players, so I have no problem with Wes either. Hackett, last name. So Harper Hackett, that's a problem. Double H is a problem.
And it's not even double H. It's double two first alliteratives. So yeah, it's very, well, now you're fucking around now. Now, if you have a nickname, Haha.
Yeah.
I like or that.
If you throw her middle name as Heather, Harper Heather Hackett, Triple and then H. Triple H. Yeah.
But that's a mouthful. But you only have a mouthful until they get married, unless they're super woke and they don't want to take their husband's name, which is okay. We support that too.
We support that 100%. Kennedy Hackett. Nora Hackett. Palmer Hackett. Palmer kind of moves up a little, I think, when you throw it with the Hackett. It's like Hackett. Peanut butter and jelly. So
Alan Hackett. Harper Hackett. Harper Hackett's kind of growing on me.
Harper Hackett's kind of growing on you.
But I think you got to go Harper Lee Hackett.
Harper Lee Hackett. Ooh, so I didn't think about the middle names here, too.
Let's do a middle name, too. Kennedy Elizabeth, maybe?
Kennedy Elizabeth, for sure. Nora Jane?
I think you go Nora Lee.
You're a big Lee guy.
I am. It's a smooth middle name.
I don't think you could throw Kennedy and Lee together, though, because the Lee Harvey Oswald connotation.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. That's another, you know, opposites attract thing, salty and sweet. Palmer Lee Hackett.
You could go Kennedy Nicole Hackett.
It almost, see, this is the thing. Going double last names is so tough for me. This is why it's tough for me here.
Yeah.
Like Nicole Kennedy Hackett. Nicole, that seems now like anything except for a last name kind of just seems like a square. Like you almost have to go. Okay. So I'm thinking outside. Fallon's dead, though.
This is why we can't decide and we got to leave it up to the stoolies. So we're going to throw up, not only is Clemmie going to throw up the blog, but we're also going to have a Twitter poll. And I think they said that they would decide with what the stoolies said, right?
Yeah. I mean,
at least Wes did. I don't know if Mama's on board.
This could be the first time stoolies are in charge of a child's life. Now we're in charge of the name makes the person, right? Let's call it what it is. If my name wasn't, you know, redacted from this podcast, my life is completely different. If I was a Mike or a Chris, you know what I mean?
Yeah. My dad's real name is Loris, and he wanted me to be the third. I would have been Loris Mitchell, the third.
How do you spell Loris?
Horace with an L.
Oh, we have yet another sliver of the Uncle Chad seasoning just came into the mix.
God almighty, dude. Could you imagine my name was fucking Loris?
Son of Loris. That sounds like a fucking Greek Greek like character right there. Son of Loris.
Sounds like Southern trailer trash is what it sounds like.
What's your mom's first name?
Linda.
Linda? Linda and Loris?
But he went by Mitch. So that's why one of the reasons why I hate the name Mitch, because Mitchell the Bitchel.
Mitchell the Bitchel, yep. Okay, fair enough. What are your thoughts on the name Loris, though? I'm sure you hate Loris as well.
Loris legitimately might be the worst name you could possibly have.
I'd like to apologize to any listeners with the name Loris out there. But,
I don't think there is one. I think that there's probably like seven in the entire universe, and they all fucking suck.
So on Twitter, at Podfathers Show, we are going to put this up to a poll, and you are going to name a child. So you didn't think you'd see that in the first, you know, after listening to this podcast. So at Podfather Show, we're going to blog it. We have Harper Hackett, Kennedy Hackett, Nora Hackett, Palmer Hackett. Fallon can get the fuck out of here.
Yep. You want to move into bedtime stories?
Yeah, let's move into bedtime stories. You got anything?
Not really. My kids kind of been fuckers this week.
I have a bedtime story with Sienna that's been kind of so we talked about this actually recently on before, I think around the holidays. So we were really excited. I was looking back now. This was kind of rough to listen back on this. I was like audibly excited to see the Star Wars movies, obviously, The Last Jedi. I saw it, didn't like it, thought it was actually bad. I'm not alone. There's also people that love it. Our boy Robbie Fox, I think, saw it 100 times and cried every single time. He loved it so much. Kind of ruined the Star Wars franchise for me. I kind of don't care what happens in the next movie now.
Wow.
Dude, it was just not a very good movie, I thought. Star Wars movies hold a special place in my heart. When they're done right, they're great. When they're done poorly, they're awful. This one was pretty damn bad. And my wife said to my daughter, she saw a commercial and my daughter goes, "Dad, I want to watch see that with Daddy." And my wife, God love her, didn't think it was the right response. She goes, "Daddy doesn't like Star Wars movies anymore." And my daughter goes, she goes, I watch movies with daddies. He has to like Star Wars. We like Star Wars together. So it was like a really cute moment with her, and she like really wanted to watch with me. And now that's kind of what my thing is. I may not like Star Wars movies anymore, but I have to like persevere and do it because it's our thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's nice, and that makes it special. You have a little moment. McCartney kind of does that, and Kelsey does it too occasionally, where if I'm watching football, where they'll be like, you want your football baby. Like, so I always say that whenever they come so they can come hang out with me. I don't want them to be my football baby on Sunday, yesterday, if you're listening on Monday, because we have a big Steelers-Jags matchup. So we're going to do another preview after the game happens.
The official Podfathers post-game preview coming up your way right now. Jags-Steelers. Let's get you. And you called it, too. Let's give Traps credit. You said they would not score, what is it, 7 points on the on the Jags?
Yep.
Nailed it.
And they scored three. So there
and
we go.
And that was with both Tyrod Taylor. Like, if you had known Peterman was coming in the game, you said, oh, maybe they will score, like, double digits on us. But even with Peterman, they couldn't score double digits on you.
Nope. Peterman has one of the most wild stats of all time. That he threw 9 passes on the year with 6 interceptions.
I thought you. Oh, that's nice. That's a nice stat. I thought you were going to say that he was like the last person to beat Deshaun Watson in college or something like that, which is a wild stat as well.
Oh, no. That is a good stat. So this week, Antonio Brown still kind of ailing a little bit. So this is the thing about the Jags defense. The Jags defense plays really, really well against non-mobile quarterbacks, which I would describe Big Ben is at this point. He's not a mobile quarterback. He's strong. He's elusive, but he's not mobile. He's not getting outside of the pocket on you like he used to.
His walking boot is literally a fucking character on one of our podcasts. I'm part of my take. So
right.
Yeah, that plays.
So this is the kind of quarterback they destroy. The Jags struggle against guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's really mobile, Marcus Mariota, who's really mobile. There have been a couple others that they've played. Tyrod didn't do much this week. But when they did and things break down, that's when the Jags can get any team that's really, really fast and they pride themselves on being fast, mobile quarterbacks hurt them. Like, that's what happens with Alabama when they play a guy like Johnny Manziel or Deshaun Watson. When they play a super fast quarterback, everybody's running to the ball really quickly and you can kind of do counters and they can get out of position. Big Ben's not going to be able to do that. The first game that they played, Big Ben had 5 interceptions in that game. I don't expect that to happen again. But Antonio Brown had about as good as a game as he's going to have. He had 150 yards in that game, which is the most that the Jags have given up. He had 150 yards. Le'Veon Bell did pretty well, and they still won 30-9 because once they get a little bit of a lead, I think they pull away. I think this week is 24-23 Steelers.
Oh, you just broke your own heart. Like, I saw you calling that, and I saw life in your eyes. Oh, you broke my heart, and I guess I'm rooting for the Jags here because you're my guy. Coughlin's my guy, my Madden team. Damn, Chaps. What? So is it Steelers like go down the field to like win the game at the end? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's what I kind of think happens. I think that the Jags are in place. I think there's probably going to be a late game turnover, probably about 4 minutes to go. Jags have a pretty solid lead. There's going to be a turnover around the 40-yard line. So then the Steelers have to come down, and they're going to put it in, and there's going to be a late kick to give them the win because Big Ben makes some ridiculous play with, like, Miles Jack hanging over his back.
Yep. And then at this point, we start going, who are the Jaguars going to get a quarterback next year? Kirk Cousins, whatever it may be. Like, that, the Blake train ends unless it – Blake. The only way Blake Bortles is the quarterback next year is if they win the Super Bowl. And even then, maybe not.
I think he's on the roster next year. I think to start, I think they'd be foolish not to look into a guy like Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins, because if they have the one of those two, I think they win the Super Bowl this year. I think their defense is that good that they could win the Super Bowl, but not with how it currently is. But if they do pull it off next week, it's going to be fun because Barstool is so Patriots dominated that Jags at Patriots is going to be a good time. And I'll be headed to Foxborough with young Feidelberg if that's the case. Maybe Dave will go too.
I need you and Dave there. I love Feidelberg. But you and Feidelberg are friendly, and you and Dave are friendly too. I feel like once the blood is tasted in the water of an AFC championship game, I feel like we could get some good Dave versus Chaps. And, I mean, that's an interesting battle. Dave,
because me and Dave have never gone at each other before.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few people in the office that, like, if they, like, Kevin and Dave have clashed for years, right? And Big Cat and Dave on the rundown, they'll occasionally get each other. But, like, you, PFT and Dave, I'd love to see a little clash. Like, Chaps versus Dave, it's a must-watch thing, for lack of a better. Or, I mean, an electric chair? Can we electric chair it from the stadium?
I don't know. I might have to come up early for radio throughout the week. But yes, the thing is, I mean, because the Jags have been bats for so long, it's not like I would be going into it like insanely confident about the game either.
No, I mean, but the Jags are an interesting team just because
they're so stupid that they could win because they don't have any memory. And Jalen Ramsey's like an alien, so he's not going to care. Like, he doesn't care.
Jalen Ramsey is, I mean, I don't know, the most fun interview in all football right now. He had the Monstar Secret stuff behind him, and he was ripping them like, y'all got fucking Pittsburgh versus New England, and he was going at the reporters. I love Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey has moved into my third all-time favorite football player.
Whoa! Is he in the will? He has to be in the will, then.
He's getting pretty close. So, I'll give you the other top three. Number one, primetime.
Okay.
I grew up a Florida State fan, so I absolutely love Deion Sanders. And he played for the Braves for a bit, too. So he was just my guy. Prime was my guy. Number two, Greg Jones. Fullback Greg Jones.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
Just because he would whoop anybody's ass. Like, he didn't care. Like, there was a play where he forearm shivers a dude for the University of North Carolina about 70 yards, like, down the field. And I remember exactly where I was. I had just got to school here at dog school, and I was sitting in, like, a Buffalo Wild Wings watching the game. It happened to be on TV. I remember standing up and being like, oh, my God, like, when it happened. And everybody else, like, didn't care because Florida State, North Carolina, I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and nobody else gives a shit. But I'm, like, losing my mind. I'm like, that was the most amazing power running play I've ever seen in my life. And then he played for the Jags for a long time, so he's my second favorite player of all time. Jalen Ramsey is probably third because I just love the cockiness that he plays with, him talking shit to A.J. Green. And everybody that said that he got his ass whooped by A.J. Green took him from behind. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you don't get your ass whooped if somebody comes up from behind and throws you to the ground. Like, big deal.
No way. No, Jalen Ramsey, you can't lose a fight that you weren't fighting in. You know what
right.
I mean?
And he did the good thing because he shouldn't have been thrown out of that game. He should have been able to play, like, dominate A.J. Green's mind and then get him thrown out of the game. And then you win the game. I mean, that was one of my – that was like the turning point game, I think, for the Jags this year when they did that to Cincy.
I know. That was a great thing. And Jalen Ramsey, isn't he known as Baby Deion? Isn't that his nickname? So it kind of all plays out. Greg Jones is sweating, right? It's like the Key and Peele, the sweating gif. That's what he's like at that number two spot. Like, Jalen's going to move up to number two.
And
maybe
before that,
one,
number three was Fred Taylor. So that's a big
– Fred.
That's a big – jump. I was never really a Maurice Jones-Drew guy.
Fragile Fred was ended
don't
up being
you
an
dare.
All-time. No, it's a bullshit nickname in the end. I'm saying it ended up being a bullshit nickname. Let me tell you my favorite Jam of all time.
Oh my God.
I crossed the boundary. I crossed the line. You know I do that on this podcast occasionally. I didn't know we couldn't say the F word. I apologize.
You know, I like a good alliteration, but that's too far.
Harper Hackett. Yeah. Harper Hackett, F word Fred. My favorite Jaguar was Tony Boselli. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I just always liked him. And then I wrote this. You wrote a blog about him this week where he went out. Who did he go at? Chris Sims. And I used to pose as Tony Boselli when I go in AOL chat rooms. I don't know why I did it, but I'd be like, hey guys, I'm Tony Boselli. Like, ask me anything. And I just answer questions as Tony Boselli. As like
it's me, former USC Trojan Tony Boselli.
The weirdest shit ever. But let's go Jags. That's
that was probably my favorite Twitter follower that I ever got was Tony. Whenever he first smashed that follow button on me, I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Do you check occasionally to make sure he still follows?
No, I mean, he's followed me for a while. I'm surprised that Bortles follows me still.
Really? Bortles still follows you?
As much shit as I talk. He just must never check Twitter.
He's such a cool fucking, like, he's just in his own planet, that
probably
guy.
Probably ripping cigs.
My number one follow is Charles Oakley, who somehow still follows me. I mean, I obviously defend him, but I think like the weird shit we tweet about, I'm always like, who's going to just unfollow and be like, this guy's weird. And then he just drops me, but he still does. God bless his soul.
And that was Talking Twitter. Thanks for tuning into Podfathers this week. We're sorry for tricking you at the beginning. Hopefully you stick around and you like it. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a Jags Patriots, or it could be Jags Titans preview. Don't want to do them a disservice and say that they're automatically going to lose, but they're 100% going to lose. It could be Jags Patriots week next week on the Podfathers. Have a good week, everybody.
Well, as you can tell by our Podfathers post-game preview, the NFL playoffs are finally here, and I want to tell you guys about MyBookie.ag, the number one rated online sportsbook. With your fantasy football season over, the only way to use your sports knowledge to win cash is by betting at MyBookie, the sportsbook that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They have odds on everything, live betting, and an all-new prop builder. I'm a big prop guy. Love having props. Had props at my wedding that we talked about earlier today. One of the props was how many pigs in a blanket the bride and groom would eat, and I believe we were like solid like 50, maybe 40 or so. God, I hope it wasn't that much. Anyway, back to MyBookie. You can create your own bet slips, bet how you want. We got the NFL playoffs. You bet your friends LeBron will score 30 plus and have 10 plus assists. Why not bet it at MyBookie and put your money where your mouth is? Again, huge fan of prop bets. Bet from your desktop, tablet, or on their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anytime, anywhere. MyBookie offers the fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use promo code PODFATHERS when making your account. That's promo code PODFATHERS. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sportsbook, where you play, you win, and you get paid. Cha-ching! Nope, that wasn't a soundbite. That was me doing that. Cha-ching!